There we go. All right. So, good afternoon. Is everybody having a good tech ed? Right at the end of tech ed, and let me show you why we're late. So, just look familiar to anyone. What this tells me is it tells me that my machine that has all of my virtual machines in demos thinks that it's been stolen. And so it did the useful thing, and it said, I'm going to protect the data, and it locked it all, so it's all encrypted. Unfortunately, what that means is I'm not going to get to show you any of the demonstrations I had prepared. We can still go through the slide deck. I'm happy to talk about IS Express. Without the demonstrations, we're going to run pretty short, and so presumably everyone here has an interest in IIS. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am the development lead responsible for IIS. We're just wrapping up our IIS 8 project, which ships with Windows Server 2012. I have been on the IIS team for about the last 14 years. I've been with Microsoft for a little over 20 years. So I've seen IIS all the way from the beginning to where we are today. And my team is the team that has done all the code work for what we're going to talk about today and what I was hoping to show you. So if you want, with the time that we're going to have left over, I'm happy to take any questions on any topic related to IIS or IIS Express. So we'll get some really good Q&A if you have something. In the meantime, let me go through the slides that I had prepared. I'm here to talk about IIS Express. I was going to demonstrate a number of capabilities, which I won't be able to do, discuss the future. The key takeaways that I wanted to get across today is IIS Express is the solution that we have to allow developers to be able to work in an environment where they're not necessarily an administrator and to be able to work in an environment where they're not running on a full server platform. The other thing about IIS Express is it brings the key features of the full IIS server product back onto any Windows machine as early as Windows XP. So what we've had in the past for developers looking for a platform to develop and debug and prepare applications on IIS, for ASP.NET development, there's a server written entirely in managed code called Cassini. Is everyone in the audience develop for IIS? Okay, people write ASP.NET, and you guys are probably already familiar with Cassini. Cassini is a great platform for ASP.NET development. It's transparent. It's fully integrated in Visual Studio. It allows you to write, debug, and run ASP.NET code. It's got a few limitations, though. Because it's not IIS, it has a little bit different environment, and applications don't necessarily behave the same way in Cassini that they would on IIS. And it only supports ASP.NET. If you're developing for any other platform, it wouldn't support that. You could use IIS. And this has been the solution that we've primarily recommended to developers, particularly developers writing native code, either ISAPI or using the native pipeline API. A couple of downsides to full-blown IIS. One is it's usually available on server SKUs. Most developers don't run server at their desktop. It is available on some of the client SKUs, but not the very lowest ones. The key problem that we hear with it is it requires administrator privileges. A lot of companies have policies in place where they don't want anyone having administrative access to the machine. That's been the biggest issue with using IIS itself. We had a solution that would kind of address that problem called the hostable web core or hosted web core. We introduced that in IIS 7, and it works well, but it's not a ready-to-go platform. You actually have to write code, and you have to build a solution on top of hosted web core for that to work. So to reiterate, ASP.NET development server, lightweight, no admin privileges. It doesn't support all the server features, and it's inconsistent with the platform sometimes. IIS has everything you need, but it does require administrator privileges, and it is tied to the operating system that you're running. Hosted web core, custom built. Have a pointer to the MSDN page, which shows you how to get started with it. It's probably not what I would recommend as a typical debugging environment. So we introduced a product called IS Express. IS Express tries to kind of address all the shortcomings in these different possibilities. It is a version of IIS. It uses the same runtime that the IIS server uses. The version that's available today matches very closely the IS 7.5 features because it is the IS 7.5 runtime. Other than installation and setting it up, it does not require administrator privileges. It has an application host.config, the website content, and everything is put under the user profile directory. And so you can do everything you need to do as a regular user without being an administrator. It's very small, takes only a few minutes to download. If I had my laptop with me, we were going to go ahead and install it from scratch off the network. It takes a little bit of time to install. It says seconds here, and IS Express itself really does install in seconds. Has a dependency on the .NET framework, and that adds a little bit of time to the install if you don't already have that. IS Express 7.5 will work on any Windows edition. You can run it on a server SKU side by side with IIS if you like. It will run all the way down to Windows XP. When I talk about IS Express 8, we won't be able to support Windows XP with IS Express 8. I'll go into that a little bit when we talk about version 8. And it gives you the full set of development and server features. Here's a list of the platforms that we formally support. The interesting thing about IS Express 7.5 is it is supported directly by Visual Studio. With Visual Studio 2010, SP1, and now the next version of Visual Studio, it's integrated, so it works just as seamlessly as Cassini does. So to reiterate, IS Express lets you pick the right server, not too small, not too big, just right. Here's a list of the features. I don't really want to go through all these features. This is just a slide to show everything that you would find in server is present in IS Express. So where are we going with IS Express 8? So what's available right now that I was going to install is the release candidate for IS Express 8. The major change that we've made from IS Express 7.5 is we have added 64-bit support. So when you install on a 64-bit operating system, you'll get the 32 and 64-bit versions of IS Express. It shares all of the new features with IIS 8. There is one caveat I have to throw into that. Some of the new IIS 8 features have a dependency on Windows Server 2012 or on Windows 8. The key one here that we talk about is WebSockets. WebSocket requires support that's not present on Windows 7 or earlier. And so if you want to develop WebSocket applications and use IS Express, you need to be running Windows 8 or whatever future systems come out. Yes? It depends. There's two specific dependencies it has. The first dependency is a library that parses the low-level protocol and removes the framing from WebSockets to present the data payload. That's not present on down-level operating systems. The second thing is it does require a change in HTTP.sys. HTTP.sys in 7.5 and earlier parses every single connection for an HTTP stream. And when it sees a WebSocket stream, it'll parse it incorrectly and end up sending a 400 bad request back. And so without those modifications, there'd be no way to ever get it to run on something earlier than Windows 8. Okay. IS Express will run side-by-side. You can have multiple users on the machine. They each get their own configuration files. They each get their own site files. Administration for IS Express is primarily done through either editing the config files directly or using appcmd, which is our command line utility. We've modified appcmd with IS Express so that you can give it a path to the application host.config file, and it'll operate in that location. IS Express 8 runs on all the platforms that 7.5 did except Windows XP. IS 7.5 itself or there's a number of dependencies that go back to Windows XP that we weren't able to bring into IIS Express version 8. So that one goes back as far as Vista and any future operating systems. Okay, there's the tour that I won't be able to do. To get this, to be able to get IIS Express, what I was going to show, you can go to www.microsoft.com/web. That'll take you to the homepage, the portal for IIS. On that, there's a products link. You can click on that, and it'll offer you something called the Web Platform Installer. Web Platform Installer installs in a couple seconds and lists a bunch of platform features you can install, a bunch of outside third-party, outside of Microsoft platforms, a bunch of applications. You can just select IIS Express there, hit install, stand back, and after a few minutes, you'll have IIS Express ready to go on the machine. Talk a little bit about the IIS 7 and 8 architecture. There's three parts on here. The green part is our configuration store. The blue part is our process management. The orange part is our runtime. And the bottom kernel piece, the purple piece on the bottom, that's HTTP Sys. HTTP Sys does all of the communication with the client. All of the network data passes through it, gets parsed by HTTP Sys, gets handed up. Our process management piece, hosted in the blue service host box, that communicates with HTTP Sys to configure how listening happens on the network. And then when requests actually come in, the communication between the network and the actual IIS core and your application code happens inside of the worker process. IIS Express is almost the same. All we've done is we've removed the process management piece. So instead of having a fully managed server product, you now have a user application that runs the IIS Express runtime. Some of the behavioral differences that arise from that, IIS Express is a user mode app. It's not a service. This is why admin privileges are not required. IIS Express ships automatically with a few things that are downloadable add-ons for IIS. The key one here is the URL rewriter. And the reason that we do that, I mentioned our web platform installer, WebPI, lists a bunch of third-party applications, including a number of PHP applications like WordPress, Drupal, Joomla. Many PHP applications depend on mod rewrite in the Apache world, and they can use the URL rewriter when they're running on IIS. And so many people install that we included it with IIS Express by default. For the full-blown IIS server, you'd need to go out to Web Platform Installer and download it and add it on. We do have, we've made some changes to the way the runtime works. There's a few paths in IIS that are hard-coded. The location where we store our binaries in the full-blown server product is hard-coded to System32 INET serve. The application host.config file is also hard-coded to a specific directory. We've abstracted this in IIS Express, and this is what allows us to have multiple side-by-side instances running at the same time, not conflicting with each other. And we've enabled failed request tracing by default in IIS Express. In IIS, the full server product, you have to turn it on. IIS Express runs in two different modes, and for all practical purposes, if you're developing with IIS Express, you're going to use the personal web server mode. The way this works is we have a default application host.config file that stores the configuration for the web server. When you start IIS Express, it checks in your profile directory under it's your user profile documents, IIS Express config, and in that directory, it looks for an application host.config file. If it doesn't find one, it'll go back to the template, which is included with IIS Express, and it'll create one for you. So when you run IIS Express, it's going to start, and it's going to run, and the way you can configure it for the first time use is just run it. And then you can go back and edit the configuration files after that. We do have a number of command line options listed here that you can use to specify how you want IIS Express to run. If you have that your user application host.config file, you can have multiple sites. You can have multiple applications. You can specify how you want IIS Express to run using these command line switches. Application server mode is kind of an automatic mode that will typically be used when you're not trying to manage your own instance of IS Express. And the way it works is it goes and pulls that default application host.config, puts it into a temporary location, and then starts the runtime. From there, you can make requests to the server, and when you're done, it'll just delete those temporary files as if they weren't there. This is not typically the mode that you would use if you were interacting directly with IS Express. We are integrated with Visual Studio. If you have Visual Studio 2010 Service Pack 1, by default, if you create a web application, it'll want to use debugging with Cassini. If you right-click on the project properties, you can say use IS Express. One switch, and then IS Express works just like Cassini did, but instead of using Cassini, you're using IS Express with all of the native module support, all of the IS product support, and all the other parts. If you install Visual Studio 11, we use IS Express by default. And so Cassini is still available, but it's not the default anymore. Visual Studio 11 ships with, actually includes IS Express on the disk, and when you install Visual Studio 11, it will give it, you'll have it without having to go to the web platform installer. If you're running Visual Studio 2010 Service Pack 1, it'll find it if you've installed it, but you haven't installed it. If you've not installed it, it won't be available. We include a little system tray. We say managing IS Express in the system tray, and the reason I do this for managing it is really what it allows you to do is see what instances of IS Express are running and stop them. It doesn't give you the ability to go in and change configuration properties or to go in and start them or anything like that. So it's pretty limited. So in this demonstration, I was going to go to Visual Studio 2010, create a new web project for ASP.NET, write an ASP.NET, little ASP.NET app, set a breakpoint in it, use IS Express. The application was going to dump all the server variables to the client. We could go through the server variables and actually see the server software server variable would show that it was running IS 8. So that would demonstrate that we were using that runtime. Tips and tricks. As I said before, IS Express will always create the application host.config if you don't have one. And so if you get into trouble, if you make changes that break the config and you're not sure how to get it back running again, just rename or delete the file. We'll create a new one for you. Several ways that you can configure IS Express. AppCMD is probably the most common way people would use. I'll explain why in just a second. Visual Studio has a little more capabilities for managing than what the SysTray icon does. A few minutes ago I talked about, it can actually set the type of authentication you can use. I believe it can set the home page and make some basic changes like that. What you can do if you want to make complex configuration, and I didn't have this as a demo in the deck, but I was going to do it anyway. What you can do is you can go to a machine that's running IIS, you can go to the configuration editor, make the changes there that you would want to change, and then instead of applying it, there's a link to generate script. You click that link and you have your choice. You can get a C# sample script that you could then take to the IS Express machine. You can get an AppCMD list of commands and some other different forms as well. So if you don't know what the config entries need to be and you have access to an IS machine, make the changes there in the editor and then generate a script instead of applying them. You can then take those back to IS Express, run that script, and you'll be set. When the application host.config file gets created, if you delete one and create, we create a new one for you, it actually comes from a template file that gets installed under program files under IS Express. It sits there and it may be tempting to change it. We recommend not. If you make changes to that, those changes will always propagate to whatever new application host.config that gets created. There's also a tool called IS Express admin cmd.exe to create hostname bindings for you. Rather than talk about that here, I have a link to Scott Hanselman's blog. He has a very good article that describes how to use it. I had another demonstration. I was going to show writing and debugging a native code pipeline module for IIS under IIS Express. I'm really disappointed I couldn't show that one because we don't show native code IIS development very often at these talks. We call this a sneak preview, but the way they scheduled the talks, this is the last talk we have at TechEd. So we had two previous talks earlier in the week. You can go back and take a look at those if you didn't attend them. We talk about some of the features here, application initialization, centralized SSL certificates, some config optimizations, CPU throttling, dynamic IP address restrictions, FTP logon attempts. I did a discussion on Tuesday about some of our scale up on new large scale machines with many processors, and then some other SSL features. So here's the summary slide. The two talks that you could go back and review, WSV 331 and 332 are the two IIS 8 talks that we did earlier this week. This one, of course, is the Dev 349 talk. We do have a portal website on the internet for IIS called IIS.net. The product team sits on there a lot and looks at the forums and reads and responds to questions sometimes. Most of us have blogs that we periodically update. There's lots of learning content and other things you can find at Discuss IIS there. Boilerplate Tech Ed slide. Want to make sure you submit an evaluation. So would have been a better evaluation if we had the demos available, but I got to see firsthand how effective BitLocker is today. And now I'm going to open it up to any questions and answers you have. Normally I would restrict it to IIS Express content because that was the topic, but without the demonstrations, I'd be happy to answer anything at all about IIS that you guys might want to know. Yes, absolutely. In fact, Web Platform Installer, if you wanted to run, say, WordPress, you can go to Web Platform Installer and you can select WordPress for IIS Express, and it'll install PHP for you and WordPress. And that's just a sample application. There's a bunch of PHP apps up there. Yes? Hey, if someone wants me to install IIS Express on their laptop, I'm happy to do that. Yeah. I'll borrow Carlos's laptop. Thank you.
It's already installed.
Oh. Does anybody have a laptop without IIS or IIS Express installed that would like to have IIS Express? Huh?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Okay. The laptop I'm borrowing now already has IIS Express on it. Office integration. Authorization. Yes, IIS Express supports the authorization providers. The question is, does it support the different identities for application pools? And the answer to that is no. The very architecture of IIS Express does away with application pools. That middle infrastructure piece on the architecture slide I showed, that is our process management piece. Application pools are actually implemented there. IIS Express is a user mode application. It runs as whatever user's logged in.
So it just runs multiple.
Yes. There's no reason that would not work, no. I haven't done it, but it should work fine. The question, by the way, was can you use run as to run it as a different user, as a logged in user? So it won't be possible to test impersonation. It would be possible to test impersonation. if the logged on user has sufficient privileges to use an authorization scheme that does impersonation. Not every user gets the ability to impersonate a user token. That's an enhanced privilege. We will actually, if you manually configure a binding to listen on the network, we will listen on the network. We don't implement throttling. It's a pretty complete version of our runtime. We explicitly do not support running in production, and the terms of the license agreement include that it is not to be used for production. But from a technical standpoint, we haven't put any roadblocks in the way. Yes. The preferred way to deploy applications to IIS, we have a component called WebDeploy, which is also available via the WebPI platform installer. WebDeploy allows you to point at an IIS Express installation, package the application that you developed, and then turn around and deploy it to an IIS server. And that's yes. Yes, WebDeploy will package an application from an IIS server or from an IIS Express server, and it'll deploy it to an IIS server. The other interesting thing I'll say about WebDeploy is that WebDeploy is also able to migrate applications from one version of IIS to another. It has different providers in it that understand the differences. So if you had an IIS 6 machine that you wanted to move to IIS 8, WebDeploy would be a good way to go package the content from that IIS 6 machine, deploy it to IIS 8, and it'll actually update. It won't just copy it over. It'll update it and make the configuration changes to make it applicable to IIS 8. Okay. There's no start. This is Windows 8, isn't it? Oh, there's no start button. This works. All right. Is this a 64-bit install, I'm assuming? Okay. All right. So here's the difference between, and you have the RC for 8 installed? We can find out. Oh, you must. So there's two on a 64-bit machine. On a 64-bit machine, you have two program files directories. One of them has an x86 appended to it. If you had installed IIS Express 7.5, you'd find it under program files x86. And in fact, IIS Express exists under the x86 program files directory here. And it also exists under the program files directory. So we have a 64 and 32-bit version if you install it on a 64-bit machine. To run IIS Express, it's this simple. IIS Express is now running. When it starts up, it gives you a couple messages that you're able to follow. One is it tells you what URL leads to the home page. So in this case, it's going to be localhost colon 8080. Now, Why is it on port 8080? There's two reasons for that. HTTP SIS, for security reasons, will not let a low-privileged user open up a well-known TCP port, and it won't let a low-privileged user open up a connection that can listen to traffic off of the wire. I'm going to explain what off the wire means. A co-speaker from earlier in the week told me I use that term a lot, and sometimes people don't know what it is. I say off the wire to refer to a request that comes from a client out on the network. As opposed to, there are ways for IIS to make requests that get sent through the server without ever having come over the network. So if I use the term off the wire, that's what I'm talking about. IIS Express won't listen off the wire by default. You'd have to create a binding and you'd have to have sufficient privileges to do it. Also, ports lower than 1024, HTTP SIS will not let you set up a binding on those ports unless you have sufficient privileges to do it. And so for that reason, we default to port 8080 and we're only listening on localhost. The other thing that's interesting is since it's a user application, it's running right now, you'd have to have some way to stop it, and the way to stop it would be to hit Q. So now that it's running, we're now running the fact we're running IIS 8 would be more impressive if I was on a Windows 7 machine because it doesn't ship for Windows 7. IIS 8 actually is included with Windows 8. But there's IIS Express running. IIS Express also echoes each of the requests that it receives, which is an interesting debugging tool in itself. Sometimes when I'm debugging IIS, I have a few techniques that I'll use to figure out what requests are coming in. Sometimes I'll use a network sniffer. Sometimes I will turn on failed request tracing and configure it to capture all requests. Sometimes because I'm on the development team, I'll just hook up a debugger and set a breakpoint and catch them as they come in. IIS Express will echo each one. And so this is sometimes interesting. One of the demos we did earlier this week was application initialization. In the application initialization talk, we showed how you can configure an app to inject requests that don't come off the wire when an application starts to get it to initialize its components. With IIS Express, you actually see those requests coming in. With IIS, you'd need to use something like failed request tracing to do it. Even a network trace won't do it for the full-blown IIS because those requests never go through the network. So we can just hit escape on the right machine, or Q.
Some people complain, hey, IIS Express is really slow compared to IIS. Well, it's because we do more, it's meant to be a developer kind of tool. But if you disable the tracing, it'll be as fast as IIS.
So, this, by the way, is Carlos Mares. He was the development manager for IIS up until fairly recently, and he's now the development manager for the Azure Portal team. So, he came in to watch my talk today, hoping to see me do some demos. And as of 15 minutes before my talk, that was a good plan. And then I was doing my demos in the speaker room, and what I was finding is every now and then I would bump the trackpad, which would interrupt my typing. And so I figured, oh, that's no problem. I'll just disable the trackpad. But the way BitLocker works is it takes a signature of the BIOS configuration. Disabling the trackpad invalidated the BIOS checksum. And then once it's tripped, it won't untrip even if you go back and undo the configuration change. The only way to recover it's with a key. And the key is actually on the laptop that's encrypted. The good news for later, is it's on an unencrypted partition. But it would take me, I'd have to transplant the drive to another machine to be able to get at it. So that's today's lesson on BitLocker. All right, so let's take a look at the configuration files. So under documents, you're going to see two interesting things here that I want to show you. I'm going to enable marking here. First thing I want to show you is IIS Express. This is where IIS Express stores its own configuration data. And the second thing is my websites. This is the location that IIS sets up for you, IIS Express sets up it for you to put your content in. Let's take a look at IIS Express first. So under here, we have a config directory, which is where application host.config lives. We have more than one instance has been set up, so we've got a second config directory. The regular IS logs will get created under this directory, and then our failed request tracing log files are created under here. So under config, you have a pretty typical set of config files, which is what you'd see with regular IIS. Some differences here. We do put some comments in the config file showing you what environment variable replacements get done here. And another place that I look frequently is under bindings. And here you can see where IS Express has set up that default site. You can also see that there are some other sites that have been set up as well. So Carlos uses this quite a bit. And so here's the content. So we just took a look a minute ago. We saw it come up with the IS8 splash page. This is where the content lives, is under the user profile directory, documents, my websites, and then it creates website 1 by default. Yes? Question is, which version of Windows 8 is required for the full IIS? I'm gonna hedge a little bit on my answer. All of the server SKUs for Windows Server 2012 include IIS. I don't know how we've set up the client SKUs for Windows 8 yet. I think they've made some changes from Windows 7. Our intent is to get IIS on as many of those versions as possible, but on the very lowest entry-level version, IIS will probably not be there. IIS Express will run on that, though. So. Any other questions? You know, I'm actually going to defer that question to Carlos, because he really knows the answer to that.
In the full IIS, we have the managed API called Microsoft Web Administration. You can use the exact same one for IIS Express to create sites, you know, programmatically. Just make sure that you reference the right version, because they live side by side. So say if in this machine, which is my case, I have the full IIS installed, there will be one version of Microsoft Web Administration, which is in the GAP version 8.0, and there will be another one, which is maybe, I don't know, which will be the IIS Express. If you reference the one that is in IIS Express, you will be able to programmatically create sites. You know, the only APIs that we don't have are the ability to start and stop IIS Express. So for that, you would have to, you know, basically, because in the end, as Wade mentioned, it's just a process, right? So you would have to use maybe some, you know, batch file to start the executable, and then, you know, kill it. But those are
right, and
if you search on the web, there's a few samples people have already built on how to automate that process.
Right, and if you're using Visual Studio or if you're using Web Matrix, which is our other lightweight editor, the IIS Express is integrated and it will start and stop, be able to start and stop it for you. So. Yes. Do I recommend working in full IIS if you have it available to you? Personally, I've been developing on IIS and actually IIS itself for so many years. I'm fully used to setting up, debugging, and doing everything on the full IIS version. If I were starting out today, I would probably use IIS Express. It's much, much easier to start the process, attach to the debugger, and then have the process go away gracefully using IIS Express than it is with IIS. And I would give a different answer for myself only because of how long I've been doing it. Any other questions? Yes. Can I explain the ASP.NET pipeline? I can't do that. I work on the IIS team. ASP.NET is actually written by a slightly different team. We work very closely with them, but I don't use ASP.NET in my day-to-day job. It is similar to the pipeline that we adopted in IIS 7. IIS 6, although it wasn't public, IIS 6 had its own internal pipeline API. When we started the IIS 7 project back in the mid-2000s, we had a goal to make the IIS pipeline a public API. And the reason that we wanted to do that is the only native interface to earlier versions of IIS was ISAPI. And ISAPI is an okay API. You can do a lot with it, but it's missing some features to really extend IIS the way that we want to. For example, internally, when we wanted to work on IIS, we worked on the internal API, and we didn't write ISAPIs internally that often. We wanted to enable an ecosystem where application developers would be able to do anything we could do. And we figured the best way to do that would be to make the pipeline public. Around the time we were doing that, the IIS team and ASP.NET teams merged for a short time, and our goal was a unified pipeline. And so what you see today in IIS 7, 7.5, and now IIS 8, you see a pipeline that is very similar to the ASP.NET pipeline. It has some differences because they're different products, but it was modeled on the ASP.NET pipeline to make it integrate well with ASP.NET. So, yes? WCF services on IIS Express. I have not tried it. I'm not aware of any reasons that it would not be able to work. It does work. Okay.
Only HTTP activation will work. And the other thing that I would mention, if you install, if you want to run WCF 3.5, you want to make sure that you install you install first IIS Express. In fact, I take that back. If in the IIS Express directory, there's a JavaScript to enable it, because we don't ship with WCF 3.5 configuration. Thank you.
So just make sure that if you don't see WCF 3.5 working, then you need to run, there's a little JavaScript called WCF install, something like that, .js. If you run that one, it will do the right configuration. But if you use .NET 4.0 or .NET 2.0, it will work out of the box. No, TCP activation does not work. The only pipeline we host in IIS Express is HTTP. We rely on HTTPCs, so nothing on any other binding will work. As Wade mentioned, in IIS Express, you really get a process which is managed by the operating system rather than the Windows process activation system that in full IIS does that magic.
Okay. Well, unless there's any other questions, that's what I have for today. I truly apologize that I wasn't able to run through the demonstrations that I had. Lesson learned for me, don't change anything prior to, even if it seems innocent, like turning off a trackpad. Thank you.